Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, in this hour, we will have a not yet.
He could do it.
I guess you could. We will give away a pair of Dallas Cowboys Ravens tickets. Now, you guys want to do some overreaction or reality?
I don't think we have a choice.
Do you think that Boats would freak out if in the middle of the interview?
Yes. I yelled out. I would probably also freak out.
He's tired. It's been a long year. He might just hang up the phone. Yeah. And be like, this interview's over.
We'll just tell him, go get Rangers.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to cut number 9, if we can. I know y'all have been resistant to this thus far, but this quarterback is starting to get a real second act.
Darnold, pump fake, throws, end zone, touchdown, Jalen Naylor.
Sam Darnold, are we seeing the beginning of a real NFL career for Sam Darnold?
I think he'll let you down in a big moment, but I will tell you this. He got drafted by one of the worst franchises in the NFL, right? Like in the New York Jets.
Yeah.
That's a miserable franchise. And so I don't know that he had the best instruction while he was there. I thought out of college, when we watched him, I was like, all right, he'll turn the ball over at bad times. He wasn't a great, I didn't think he was great. I thought he had a big arm while he was at USC. Then he goes from the Jets to the Carolina Panthers, who are also a miserable franchise. Then he gets the great fortune of being able to work with Shanahan and work with the San Francisco offense last season. That was very beneficial to him. And now he goes to Kevin O'Connell, who I think is a fantastic coach, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. So this is the best situation that he's had his entire career. And he has one of the best receivers in the NFL to throw to. This is very beneficial to him.
Should I take it you are not a believer?
I just can't believe. But I was trying to think in my head, who did nothing or disappointed tremendously in their first 6 years in the NFL, and then in their seventh year, if I have years right for him, drafted in 18, then kind of became a good, solid quarterback?
It wasn't this long, but rare. I was thinking about Drew Brees. It took him a while to get back.
I mean, yeah, I guess he wasn't a high pick, but Kurt Warner was a nobody.
Geno? I mean, I'm not saying Geno's great or anything, but he had a great year.
Geno's a good example of could. I think to Kevin, if you believe in Sam Darnold, could Sam Darnold become Geno Smith?
I think that is a reasonable bar.
I'm looking at a list right now, and Alex Smith took a while before he was fully realized. And he never really even was fully realized, right? Even with Andy Reid, it was.
But if you have Sam Darnold having that career, I think people are like, that's a heck of a career from what I saw the first 4 to 6 years of his career.
Yeah, so I think there's some names, but no, Romo?
Because he was undrafted. I mean, once he started playing, you were like, oh my gosh, he's better than Drew Bledsoe. You know, like, so that would be tough.
It was year 5? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, there's some names on here, but not really any great ones. I guess Rich Gannon would be in there, like before he got to go to
Mark
a Super
Brunell.
Bowl.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie.
Okay. Overreaction or reality? Now,
Steve DeBerg.
This one has just popped to mind because I saw another statistic about this. They might still be uber popular, but the Cowboys are losing some of their popularity. And the reason why I want to bring this up is top 10 sold jerseys in the NFL via the NFLPA. Didn't it feel like no matter what, it was a no-brainer lock that you'd have like two or Cowboys?
Three.
Maybe three, exactly. Here is the list for this year. CJ Stroud is number one. How about that? followed by Patrick Mahomes, Aiden Hutchinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Joe Burrow at 5, then Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, Micah Parsons is 9, followed by Brock Purdy, and Harrison Butker is number 11, if you wanted to know that. But yeah, like, we talked about the...
Whoa. Number 10 is a kicker?
Number 11, 11 is a kicker. You know why, though, right?
MAGA.
Because he's Chiefs?
No, because people thought he was treated unfairly with the comments that he made.
I didn't even know they made... Hey, we have Brandon Aubrey. I don't think I can buy a Brandon Aubrey jersey.
You should be able to.
I think you have to custom make it, right?
Perhaps so. But he's number 11 on the list.
So Brandon Aubrey jerseys are out there, baby.
Yes.
They are out there.
The only Cowboy in the top 10 is Micah. So no Dak. We talked about declining attendance by a lot at training camp. They're still unbelievably profitable and popular. But overreaction to reality, the Dallas Cowboys are seeing it chipped away a little bit.
I think Stroud, Kevin, I'm going to just go on the Stroud thing. His is up because, A, that nobody wanted to buy any Texans jerseys for a long time, so they're all buying the Stroud jersey. Everybody already has a Dak jersey. They already have. Hey. Unless they throw out a new a new type of jersey, everybody already has that wants one probably already has one. But I think you got a really interesting point there. I do wonder if Jerry looks at that and goes, hold on. Something's wrong here, guys. But I mean, you've already signed him, so.
What are you going to do?
I struggle with it. I've quit the Cowboys. I'm 0.01% of the Cowboy population that grew up a Cowboys fan and just decided I'm quitting them. I won't say forever, but probably forever. I just don't think that. I think out of everybody listening right now, I think they're all, in a way, a Cowboy fan. Maybe a mad Cowboy fan.
Sure.
Maybe always an optimistic Cowboy fan. Whatever it is, but they're a Cowboy fan no matter what the Jones family does, no matter how the team performs. They will be a Cowboys fan no matter what. So I hear what you're saying, and you're backing it up by jersey sales, and maybe there's a few other, the Oxnard attendance. Yeah. But I just, I don't know. Yeah, I just think... I think Jerry's built something that he knows I never have to win, and I'm going to leave this however many years from now when he passes away. He's going to leave this with his 3 kids knowing that I've left something that in a way can't be destroyed because winning and losing doesn't matter.
NFL overreaction or reality. The Ravens could start the season 0-5. Now, I know that would necessitate them losing to the Cowboys first, and it's not just about that, because after that, they host the Bills and are on the road against the Bengals. That is a brutal stretch to start, especially for a team that just lost to Vegas.
Yeah, that's a bad loss too, man.
It is a bad loss.
Unless, you're a huge Minshew supporter now.
That's right.
So maybe it isn't a bad loss. Maybe it's a good thing.
It's possible, but even the bad teams, whether it's the Patriots, I know the Panthers were saying maybe 0-17, but these even bad teams, and I don't think Baltimore is a bad team, they figure out of a 5-game stretch, they win a game.
Yeah.
So I would say I don't think it's likely. The schedule is very tough for them, but I think that they will probably win a game, if not 2 or 3 of these games.
NFL overreaction or reality. Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes is the best QB rivalry in the sport. They have played 5 times. All 5 games have been decided by 3 points or less. That's the only time that's happened in NFL history, and that streak obviously continued on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Overreaction or reality, Burrow, Mahomes, best QB rivalry.
I think everybody still gets up and excited for that one right now.
I agree.
But man, the Bengals have to be better. For that to continue to be relevant, I don't know if it's a feels lopsided. I would put the Josh Allen Mahomes rivalry to a contest on that.
Josh Allen's probably it's lopsided because the stupid defense couldn't hold for 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Was it their first time or something? Overreaction or reality? Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, best QB rivalry in the sport.
Think so. I mean, Josh Allen and it's Patrick Mahomes and somebody, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would say,
or is it Dak versus Daniel Jones?
Has he ever lost to Daniel
Jones?
Exactly.
That's why I like that rivalry.
Okay.
Well, if I gave you these three quarterbacks versus Patrick Mahomes, I guess, rank the rivalry. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
I think Lamar Jackson is last. I would argue Joe Burrow because he's had the most success against Patrick Mahomes. So yeah. I would go Burrow, Allen, Jackson.
Okay.
The next one, though, is going to, I mean, this CJ Stroud's on the way, right?
I could see that. I'm really intrigued to see how that goes.
He's going to meet up with him a few times in the playoffs. So,
because we all thought it was going to be Mahomes and Herbert, right? Because they're in the same division and like both have gigantic arms.
Remember, there's never been a better division of quarterbacks in the history of football than Mahomes, Herbert, Russell Wilson, and Derek Carr.
Yeah, it was a
just
great
2 years ago. Yeah. That was the debate is these four quarterbacks in one division. Is this the greatest quarterback situation in the history of football?
NFL overreaction or reality? And before you say no, let me present you with some evidence.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins is over his primetime woes. All right. Going into Monday night, he was 12-20. In primetime games, including 4-10 on Monday Night Football. However, he had also at one point lost 9 straight Monday Night Football games, and now he's won 3 of 4 primetime games. Overreaction or reality, Kirk Cousins has figured it out with his primetime woes.
I'm not ready to say that he has.
Wouldn't you rather face him at nighttime than daytime?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that it's not over. He's going to have to. I know this is a different sport. The way David Price pitched in 2018, where we're like, dude, you put David Price in a playoff game and you're going to win. Yeah. No matter how great of a season he had, he's going to pitch really bad in the playoffs. Nobody can understand.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head to head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Stand it, but he's going to be hit and hit hard. And then in 2018 with Boston, he pitched great in the World Series. And you're just like, well, it's over. You can't say that anymore. You can say he struggled before then, but then he was great in the playoffs in 2018. So I feel like for Kirk Cousins, he would have to go on a run here where he would go 13-4 this year and in these big time kind of matchup games that you know that it's the main game of the NFL, he wins 3 out of 4 of them.
Kevin, this is kind of wild, too, because he has blue eyes. And I heard that with blue eyes during daytime, you're supposed to be worse.
Only at home plate.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes more sense. You don't My care apologies. About
I think hard. The sun comes off of the home plate or something like that. Confused on that one still.
Now, Mike, I'm going to start with you here. Yo. This is tough, but I think it's a fair question.
It's about Trevor Lawrence. He's
overreaction or reality? Trevor Lawrence is not a franchise quarterback.
I don't think he can lead a franchise to anything special.
Okay.
But is he still in the NFL? I don't know where he is on the rankings. Probably 20th is what I'm guessing when you had the QB rankings. I don't have it in front of me. But so is he better than 10 other starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now? Yeah, he's better than Daniel Jones, Bo Nix, Credo McGee somewhere. But
and who is Mike projecting that to be in his mind? Text in.
It's scary if you are Jacksonville right now and you made the commitment this summer to go, oh, crap. Like, he might be just an average quarterback.
Yeah.
Or he might have the fate of, like, Derek Carr. I know he wasn't number one overall pick. His brother was. Where he goes into the Derek Carr category. You're like, maybe in the right situation and the right thing, he can be good, but I still wouldn't believe he'd be great. Like, I hate it because I thought watching him at Clemson, I thought he was a Peyton Manning type of quarterback.
A lot of people, a lot of people were there with you. Corey?
I mean, he is a franchise quarterback by all definitions.
He gets a lot of
is
money.
Is he a successful franchise quarterback? The answer is no, not yet.
Do you think he will be?
I think the franchise is not successful.
Okay.
And therefore, I think the successful franchise quarterback will continue to be not successful because of the franchise.
That makes sense to me, actually. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway, which means some Mike likes it. Plus, we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy, and we will have that Cowboys-Ravens ticket giveaway. Woo! That's a lot next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're going to talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy, hopefully in just a minute.
I just realized I can't do the giveaway during Bochy because of the phones. Bochy would be on the line and we couldn't answer the phone.
That would scare the crap out of me if you did that during Bochy.
Sounds like be ready at 12:40-ish to 12:50-ish.
You might have an opportunity there. I wanted to throw this out there real quick since we were talking about cards yesterday and how much the cool factor of cards. Yeah. Like, remember the triple autograph from the Olympics that Giannis is like, I got to have that.
He offered $2 million for it?
Or something. It was a huge number. So now they've put out the first ever dual NBA Rookie of the Year autograph card with Wemby and LeBron. And a lot of people are anticipating huge interest in that as well.
So as a kid, I was following this card and it just got too expensive for me. There was a Jason Kidd Grant Hill autograph card. It's recent. But I just thought that was really cool because they shared the Rookie of the Year in 1994.
True. They did. All right. I think we're going to pivot right now to some Mike Likes It if we can. And then we'll catch up with Boach in a little bit.
So I have a football question based off of our talk today with Mickey Spagnola. Mickey discussed it's the offensive line. It's not the running backs. He made that to me as clear as day listening. The running backs have no ability to run the ball well because of the lack of ability of the offensive line. Would you say that was what he said?
Yes, that was my interpretation.
So I know Mickey's not here, but I want you guys, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm not saying you take Mickey's stance here, but let's be specific. And you guys can text in and be specific here too. If it's the offensive line first that's screwing everything up for the run game and not the running backs, is it Zach Martin screwing everything up? Because I'd say he's your best. So let's be specific.
Okay, let me throw this out there. Because I know that from a tackle perspective, Tyron Smith was a fantastic run blocker.
Yeah.
He's no longer here. But here's what I'll throw out there. I want to start with the interior of the line if we can. Zach Martin last year had the fifth best run block win rate in the NFL last year. So Zach Martin was fifth. This year, even though I know it's only two games, Tyler Smith is in the top 10 for run block win rate.
I was going to say, from everything I've watched so far, Tyler Smith's been dominating.
So both guards are doing really a great job at run blocking.
I'm not saying Zach Martin's doing great. I'm saying
so
Zach
we think
Martin
he might
is doing
be
good.
Sliding some.
Yeah.
He was top 10 last year. Tyler Smith is top 10 this
year. Almost got Dak killed in the Cleveland game on the first drive.
So I think that just a question that we're bringing up.
Yeah.
Is it potential that maybe you've seen a little bit of it and Zach Martin is sliding down to really good as opposed to crush your soul excellence?
I don't know exactly there yet. Yeah, crush your soul excellence, really good. I would still put him there. Mike, when I go watch how the Saints came off the ball and watch how the Cowboys are coming off the ball right now.
Defensively?
Offensively. And when the offensive line for the Saints came off the ball, they were getting 2-3 yards push right out of the gate. And the Cowboys, if they get a yard, or if they get stood straight up, is more often than not. Tyler Smith looks fantastic.
Okay.
But they aren't getting as much. You know, I think when the running back's going, it's not just the hole. It's where, we'll call it the pocket, where how far forward it goes to. And so he's getting met pretty quickly at the line of scrimmage, as opposed to having about 2 more yards or 3 more yards downfield before the running back gets to the hole. And that's a big factor when it comes to running the ball. It is a lot on the offensive line first, always, in my opinion. I would run right behind Tyler Smith almost every time right now. But I also don't think that Ezekiel Elliott's fast enough, and I don't think that Dowdle necessarily has the right read every time to get the bigger play out of it.
Okay.
So I think there's a combination of both of them.
How horrible is BB?
So with BB and Guyton I think you did see a slide back in week two for week one, although I'm sure you can argue that about many, many, many players on this team.
But I guess week one, they didn't run well either. They didn't run bad, but they didn't run well.
That is true. I thought they were better in week one. The argument I'm going to have is I feel more comfortable talking about the guards just because I was like, I have seen you here for a while. For BB and for Guyton, I'm like, I saw two games. It's all right. You know, like that feels tougher to say so.
Yeah, far. I haven't seen domination from BB yet, but I'm like excited that he's going to be the center and that he's still growing on it. He's not dominant at all.
I fundamentally disagree. And I told Mickey that today. Yeah. I fundamentally disagree with his assertion that it's the offensive line that is dragging down the running backs thus far. I think at worst, it's a 50-50 proposition. And what I think is actually happening is you're seeing the reflection of a poor running back room, how we all fear.
Yeah.
Because they can't make them look good.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I know I'm asking this question. I think it's impossible to make a Zeke Elliott look. I could get the five best offensive linemen, in my opinion. Give me the five best offensive linemen in the whole NFL that are run blocking offensive linemen. And put Zeke behind him, and I think you're best at 4.2 yards a carry, at best. And I just got the five best in all of the NFL on one offensive line.
Yeah.
That's how bad I think that he is at this point in his career.
I'm not giving him any more credit than I have to at the moment. Against the Saints, I do agree with the Cowboys on the front of how well you didn't even get the efficiency that you were looking for. You didn't even get, let alone efficiency, the opportunities because you stunk so much. And you were from behind, like you were trying to chase from that point. But it's a combination of both of them.
Yeah.
Whenever the offensive line's good, man, you better have a better running back behind them.
And that's a fair point. And that is, I definitely agree with you. It feels sometimes hard to credit or discredit one side or another disproportionately. So if you want to tell me, I don't think the offensive line has been good, but I also don't think the running backs have been good, I'm going to be far more apt to agree with that than we got the horses. We just can't create the holes.
You mentioned Guyton. How do you feel like Guyton and Steele are performing in run blocking?
I feel pretty good about the way Steele's game is looking still. Him and Zach Martin on their combo blocks are still very, very successful. Guyton I'm going to put him in the same group as BB. He still has work to do just with his balance, making sure that his footwork's underneath him, making sure that his balance is the biggest factor right now because these NFL defensive tackles, defensive ends, they know when a guy's lunging, when his feet aren't underneath him. And that's what I've seen so far with Guyton is he still has to figure out that some of the defensive ends he's going up against, but he still has to figure out his own balance.
All right. So you guys just talked about the offensive line. What running back here do you think can take advantage of the run blocking if it is up to par?
CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, you might be right.
Short of that.
He's your only offensive weapon, man.
I guess I would say Dowdle just because they seem to like the idea of feeding Deuce Vaughn up the middle, which is kind of confusing.
If you're going to have Deuce Vaughn out there, get him to the edge.
Yeah.
Set up some of these edge plays and get him out there where he can use his speed and cut back. But what we've seen so far is they're like, between the tackles, man, you'd be one of those bruisers. He's not.
Yeah.
So I think they used him inappropriately in this last game. That's why when people are like, well, Dalvin Cook, we're looking for an answer right now. Everybody's looking for, hey, you think that Dalvin Cook has the speed because you've seen him run before. But we saw Zeke run before, and then his legs just gave up on him. You saw it this weekend. He tried to get to the edge on a couple different plays, and he couldn't. I mean, he looked like he was... Remember, Mike? Remember that Saints game we watched a couple of years ago and we came back on and Kevin was out and Steven came on and we were like, he looked like he couldn't even run anymore.
Yeah.
And like that's how he looked this week too. And so I feel like I'm hoping that Dalvin Cook still has some burst and can get to those holes because he could make those guys look a little better. Because the hole actually isn't even as open as long anymore either.
Right.
I think the tough thing for... I feel like the Jones family should be better at watching football than me, but I don't think they are, is when you watch college football and other NFL games and you see running backs and how quick they are off of breaks.
Yes.
Because how many times it does happen? How many times is the hole that you're supposed to run through created well, where the guy just runs straight through it in a straight line, and there's no hesitation, and then go. You know, like there's always something where the running back has to have a little bit of a read, usually.
And we don't have running backs that can go above and beyond. That, I guess, I'm really glad that you said that. That goes back to my major issue. We do not have running backs that I think can go above and beyond when you get in a situation that's not absolutely perfect.
Yeah, when I watch Achane run, I'm like, so, whoa. That dude, the hole is open, and he's running through. He's flying through. Now, he gets touched, he's going down pretty quickly. Like, that's just a reality. But because of his burst, he can get to it really quickly. And so he's picking up 8 yards because he can get through that area so fast. And that's Mike McDaniels puts a premium on speed. The whole team. Yeah. Like whenever they got, who was the receiver from Pittsburgh that went to Chicago that I didn't really like?
Built like a vending machine.
Yeah, and he was like, Antonio, you want me to say Bryant. It? No, it wasn't him. No. But he was like, you want me to say it? He's fast. That's what they do. They get fast people. If you look at the Niners, all of their weapons are fast. Kittle's fast. Debo's fast. Those guys are fast.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys don't place as much of a premium, in my opinion, on speed as they should, because it's a reality. Speed kills.
Yeah.
Just like velocity in baseball. You have that, nobody else can match that.
And I think especially at running back, the guys that, I know it's a test, but you're 5'10", 5, or how quick you're in and out of breaks.
Yeah.
Because when the hole you're supposed to go through is closed, but the hole next to it suddenly opens up, how quick can I cut from left to right, but still moving upfield and get through that gap? And now, how big of a threat am I? I got through the gap. Now I'm to the second level. And I don't really have a blocker at that point. Can I make that guy miss and turn it into a 20-yard gain? And there is a small percentage. I almost said 0%. There's a small percentage that there's a guy on this team that can do that.
Let's talk about that percentage specifically with Zeke. There was one particular play that I saw where Zeke kind of ran into the pile. That's what he does, and he tries to force his way through the pile. It felt like the pile broke away in a way he didn't expect, but instead of being able to go forward and run with the ball, he like tripped up and fell down, because I think he was just waiting to be pulled down while he was pushing the pile, not thinking, if I could break through this, I could go somewhere.
Yeah, it's tough to watch, because the unfortunate part is you get to watch all these other running backs on Saturdays and Sundays, and you're like, hey, how come they cut, and how come they're stronger, and how come they're quicker, and how come they're, to Corey's point, faster once they get a little bit of open field?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, this is horrible. So I don't even know if these five guys, and maybe they're blocking bad. Maybe Mickey's right.
It's a combination.
I'm not smart enough at all to watch offensive linemen and tell you why this person is good and why this person is bad. I don't have that ability.
I think you're smart enough. I think it requires a second watch. And mostly after that game, who wants to have a second watch on that one, honestly? Because a lot of times, what do you watch when you watch football? You're watching the ball.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Or you're watching like, oh, this guy's about to get the quarterback because you're in that area.
You're watching a lot of sports. Soccer, basketball, we're watching the ball. Mike, you watch basketball differently than most of us, because when you're watching basketball, you're seeing the whole court, whereas we're probably watching the guy with the ball, and then all of a sudden, how did that guy get wide open on the perimeter? Because this guy set this up. You see it differently, and that's why you have to be specifically watching the trenches to see a lot of that.
All right, so we're coming to the end of the baseball season. Hopefully here in a second or two, we'll have Bruce Bochy. The awards are about to be, I say, not given out, because that happens at the end of the postseason. Basketball does it at the end of the regular season. That's why you'll see Dirk Nowitzki hold up I guess he didn't make it to the second round of the playoffs. In the second round of the playoffs, the MVP holds up the trophy that they've won, the regular season MVP. In football, we see right before the Super Bowl all the awards given out.
Yep.
So baseball's about to be done, about to be voted on for all the awards. What award in sports do you care about the most?
Ooh, I like this one.
All right, if I have to, two immediately come to mind, but if I can only pick one, and I don't know if a lot of people will feel this way as well, I love to see the all-NBA teams, because I feel like it's a great way of, I know MVP will hit this one person, or, you know, a person in each league. I love the All-NBA because it gives you a snapshot of what the people are thinking. These are the 15 best players in the NBA every single season, and this is how we stagger them. You know, and I think it's a great way to have the argument of like, hey, I know you didn't win the MVP, but in this you can go, Luka's been first team All-NBA 5 times. And you're just like, okay, so people thought he was one of the best 5 players 5 times. I just think that's a really neat way to look at it. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, and because the way you look at the All-Pro, too, has always been
Do you like teams better than individual awards?
I think I do, because that was going to be the other one. I wanted to keep it to one, not take up all the answers. But All-Pro, I absolutely care about All-Pro more than I do MVP, because I think MVP is usually more like cut and dry. You know, like, for example, it seems more and more obvious by the day that Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are going to win the MVPs, right? But if you go through the team of like, here are all our like all pros, for lack of a better term, I'm like, okay, I want to see how that shakes out because I feel like there's more mystery there.
One of my favorite.
Do they have an all baseball team?
Yeah, I feel like they should. I feel like
they have a Silver Slugger Award and the Gold Glove at the end.
I feel like they should.
Yeah, but it's,
I don't
it's
feel like
all-star.
They have, here's your starting nine, like first team all MLB.
Should they not?
They should.
It's your all-star.
They should have an MVP too for the whole league.
It's your all-star, and it's when you take that, like you get to see that team actually play out. Like that's a real game. You know, we get to watch real baseball with the all-star team happen. One of my favorite things that Kevin introduced me to was the, and it's, and I don't know how long, how much longer Dirk will stay in this game, but it's the NBA all-time game. So is he one of the top, is it 24?
24.
The top 24 players, because you can split off two teams and have two basketball teams.
12.
Yeah. And I love that idea because, and that's where Kevin, you know, he talks about teams. That's the team that really is the coolest team because you have a dream game that doesn't exist, but you could see it happen in a cornfield somewhere.
Yeah. Well, maybe not for basketball.
I don't know, man. Are you saying?
Nope, I'm not.
Are you saying Hoosiers couldn't have been played in a cornfield?
Steve Alford shot over like a cornfield. His dad would put up a broomstick or something. I used to do that in my backyard shooting. I'd do the Steve Alford shooting drills.
You should have just built a brick
wall.
I
do not
want
to rule that out. I watched the Dude Perfect 30 for 30. They dropped it from the top of a tower, which was terrifying and amazing to me. So I'm not going to rule that out.
From the 940, Bassmaster Angler of the Year. From the 817, the Heisman Trophy. From the 682.
I figured for like Carter, that would be something. Like, I hate saying this. I feel like over time, the Heisman Trophy is the trophy I care about the least.
I have a hard time with it's just a quarterback award, like for both sports, for college football and the NFL. It just feels like it's a quarterback award.
That's, can I ask you this?
But I do like the NBA MVP award. Even though Luka hasn't gotten there, I like that there is like you get to really look at the numbers and see what those dudes have done.
Here's how the Heisman Trophy can and should be better. Now that there is a 12-team playoff, the Heisman is not given out, and you wait until the playoffs are over, and you include those playoff games in your decision-making. It's not just how you did against UT San Antonio.
Right.
How did you do, not only in your conference games, how did you do in the possibly 3 playoff games you played in? And then I think, wow, I have a better idea who the best college football player is because at the end we put the 12 supposedly best teams together and I watch this dude do this. How many Heisman trophies would be different if we just waited for the bowl games to get over and then you vote?
There's no question Vince Young would have had that Heisman trophy.
Gosh.
Like,
yeah.
And we wouldn't have had to go in for all the BS with all this other stuff. But that's an intriguing idea.
Like, who cares about what BYU did back in 1992 and, you know, like Detmer or whatever. Andre Ware. Nothing against Andre Ware. Go University of Houston. But, I mean, who did they play when he threw for 70 points a game?
You're the comparison for me, though, on your dream NBA game is Nissan's done a good job with the Heisman house.
I love the
I think
that's
a really
Dr.
cool
Pepper.
The idea.
For some reason, I thought it was Dr. Pepper.
The idea that those guys just live in a, you know, like Madden would say that about the Hall of Fame, that he liked to dream that they would talk to each other.
Yeah.
Whenever everybody closed the doors, and that's kind of, I look at that Heisman house and I laugh about that. I feel that way.
That's all fine and well. Just never go back and watch that creepy ass Al Davis 30 for 30 where they're like, hey, we've regenerated these people to recreate what we think their conversation conversations would have been in hologram form. Whoa. It is horrifying. I thumbs down to that. Big thumbs down.
The Triple Crown. Man, the Triple Crown, it's not an award, but if somebody wins it, I do think it's a special. I think that's a premium special
award. If the horse wins the first two races, I will absolutely go out of my way to be locked in for the third one.
What about the baseball Triple Crown?
I mean, you might see the pitching Triple Crown.
Because that's something that accumulates over an entire season. But I do like the horse Triple Crown idea, too. What's the AVN award? I don't know.
Oh.
So.
It might be a naked award.
What? So what I was thinking about for these awards, which would, to me, be the best award, just because it's my sport, is...
Oh.
There's no debate over Ohtani and Judge winning the MVP. Let me ask you this. Now you're a voter in Major League Baseball, and you have to vote for the ultimate MVP.
Yeah, that's
yes,
tough.
I still give out the awards. You're the American League MVP. You're the National League MVP. Those will stay forever. But what if right now you had to vote Judge versus Ohtani for the MVP of Major League Baseball? We would have a real... 50-50 debate here.
And then I would all of a sudden be super excited in the MVP. It just feels like usually the MVP is a foregone conclusion by the time we get to it.
Last year it was Ohtani and Acuña. Acuña would have won the real MVP. Because Ohtani got hurt, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't close at all. In fact, I think it was unanimous. It brought in the, what about Corey Seager? And you looked at the numbers, you're like, well, one dude pitched too. Like, it's not really that close. But if I bring in Acuña into the discussion, I go, dude, I'm giving it to Ohtani in the American League. Seager's not close, but he is second. Just like Lindor, I love Lindor. He's not close, but he is going to finish second.
Yeah.
But if I had Ohtani versus Judge this year, that would be a fun discussion.
What's the goalie award?
Vezina.
Patrick Waugh.
There was a time.
It's not called the Patrick Waugh.
There was a time when I, like, that's all I cared about was did really? Ed Belfour get the Vezina Award or not? Like, and that was, again, like a very short period of time and short lived, but I was very invested in that.
You know, I'm looking at the clock, Mike, and I feel like it
might. Let's give something away!
That's a good idea.
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now!
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see the Cowboys play the Baltimore Ravens at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. This is courtesy of Miller Lite. Thank you very much to Miller Lite for making this happen. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053. Good luck to everybody. In the meantime, we still haven't heard from Bosch.
We're still working. We're still
working. Okay. Do you want to stick with Mike Likes It or do you want to go back? I have more NFL overreaction or reality if you want.
I really got nothing left.
Okay.
I have like one little thing, but it would not give you eight more minutes.
Go to NFL overreaction or reality. Aiden Hutchinson is already in the top echelon of NFL defensive players. Now, I mean the tippy top because...
I told you that's who I would put my money on for defensive player of the year.
That is looking like a very savvy decision because it feels like usually it surrounds Bosa, Garrett, and Micah.
And Aaron Donald for many years.
Yes, true. And then Max Crosby might be in the mix as well. Man, Aiden Hutchinson... 9.5 sacks as a rookie, 11.5 his second year. He already has 5.5 this year, helped in large part because he had 4.5 in one game. But he has been a presence since he got into the league. And I feel like he's like, if he's not in that mix, he's knocking on the door. What say
he
you
is,
guys?
Mike, he's tied for fourth right now in Defensive Player of the Year odds at plus 1,200. That was as of September 12th.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm a little off there, but at plus 1,200, he's tied with Max Crosby and Bosa behind Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and TJ Watt. So that was as of that time. Yeah, man, just watching him play, he's fast, he's strong, he's got all those qualities that you want. He plays for a coach that's everything to the wall, if you will.
I
can't say that. But yeah, like his coach is that mindset too, and he plays the same mentality as Dan Campbell.
The other thing too is, in a weird way, because I know he's number one overall pick, he doesn't, right, number one? Or do you go number two? Because Michigan dude went one.
Yeah, because Walker went number one, didn't he?
Yeah, he that's right, second. And then he went two. So, and there still is huge expectation on number two overall pick. But for some weird reason, he he doesn't have the Micah Parsons expectation. He kind of doesn't have the Watt expectation. Miles Garrett just won it. So you kind of, if you're going to win it back to back, I feel like you almost have to exceed what you did the year before. So sometimes when you look at these things on who's going to win the MVP or who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, sometimes it's better to take the guy that, well, there was some expectation he could do it, but we don't think he's going to do it, because then us as humans,
yeah,
we get more excited about that guy. I think in a way, that's how, and he is awesome, that's how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander shot up the board so much, because it's like, wait a second, he really is this good? Like, he's Jokic good? He's Giannis good? He's Luka good? Like, these are the guys we're thinking about. He was kind of like, well, you know, maybe. And so I think that always helps out guys when it comes to these awards, these big time awards.
I'm interested in this theory too, because I was starting to think maybe Micah set the bar too high and hasn't been able to get over that since then, because his sack numbers have kind of been the same, right?
Sure.
And getting over that would probably give him a better opportunity. So maybe it's better to kind of start with low expectations and work your way in. But usually what happens in those instances for those awards, if you started with low expectations, they're like, well, I mean, congratulations getting here. If you work harder next year, you'll be able to get there.
Now, you'd asked something with the jersey question about Travis Kelce. So let me throw this out there. Overreaction or reality, you have reached an oversaturation point with the Kelce brothers.
They're just showing the center dance on stage, and I thought it was very funny on TV.
Luckily, did you see that guy that people thought he blew out his knee at first when they chest bumped? It looks like he's going to be okay, but like they chest bumped and that dude like crumpled.
They're striking while the fire is hot, or iron is hot.
Absolutely, as you should.
With these guys, they're still entertaining. And so it's not that if I see them, I'm changing the channel. But they're still like when I'm rolling through TikTok and I see their podcast stuff, I laugh at the content that's there. So I haven't quite got it. But didn't we say that Travis Kelce has like 8,000 commercials already this year? It's insane. He's set up for better acting career than Peyton Manning.
Oh, I could see that for sure. Especially if he's still with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
You have a huge built-in like box office probability.
That
with
door,
all
he doesn't even have to knock.
Yes.
Absolutely. That door.
I was just curious about that because you started to see more posts about the Kelce brothers that have more like negative social media reactions to them. Now,
has anybody posted, I hate Travis Kelce?
Probably not that I've seen from like a reputable person. But
are you talking about Donald Trump? And
did he?
He did it with Taylor Swift. I hate Taylor Swift.
Probably not a good idea.
And I get it. Like, Taylor Swift might have swayed hundreds of thousands of, I'll say, young voters.
Yeah, see that.
To go, I do whatever Taylor Swift does.
Sure. Probably.
Because as Kevin has always said, listen to famous people.
You should make your own decision. Like, whatever your decision is, I hope you make your own decision and do your own research. And so I was curious, are those people upset just because they're just inherently like, we build people up to tear them down?
Yeah.
Or is it just like, I don't dislike these guys, it's just too much? Like when Tom Brady was doing the broadcasting, I'm fine with him as a broadcaster though so far. But when we hit the first break and it was a Tom Brady commercial too, I was
that was too much for me.
I need one or the other.
I think didn't we get like three commercials in that of him? That you're like, oh gosh, come on, dude. Yeah. I don't think I don't know, but I don't get there. I like them, I guess.
Yeah, I'm fine with them.
I'm
not
like,
I'm not seeking them out, but I'm also not, I don't know, disgusted is way too strong of a word, but I'm not like disgusted by seeing them or believe this anymore. And one of those dudes was an Eagle who destroyed you for most of your, if you're a Cowboys fan. And I feel like in a weird way, he's very likable,
relatable,
even to Cowboy fans. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying you rooted for him when he played, but you're almost like at this point, you're like, oh, I hate all Eagles. Like, to this day, like, I see Donovan McNabb and I'm not like really fond of seeing him.
Sure.
And he was a solid, good quarterback, but it's like, yeah, he kicked our butt a whole bunch of times. I'm not really happy to see him or listen to his opinion. But Kelce, I'm like, no, I want to hear what he has to say. He seems really bright, has a understanding of things from that obviously center position that I like hearing about and learning about. And he also is funny.
Now, Corey, you might take some credit for this. Marcus and Carrollton was the winner of our Dallas Cowboys ticket giveaway. I believe that is the same person who has now texted in and said, Corey, you responded to me today. I knew it was going to be my lucky day. I credit you for the victory.
Hey, we do try to respond a lot to the fan text.
True. Who's Marcus rooting for when he goes to the game?
Oh my God, I hope the Cowboys.
What if we gave away Raven tickets? Like, you know, they're Cowboy tickets, but they're rooting for the Ravens.
Ravens fans like, yes, this is awesome. You know what?
Are you going to try to find a seat?
Why do I care?
Because you don't want to be like the
If the owner's like, look, man, it's fine by me, then I'm not going to care that much.
That's a tough counter argument for me to make. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh, man, let's do a redraft because would the Cowboys ever actually do this next in The Fan?